tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. From the Indigo Girls, we have Amy Ray. And to talk all things Chicago haunting, author and musician Adam Selzer, with Chicago Tribune cartoonist Scott Stantis, and so much more. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, we are broadcasting live.
It is Thursday night, and we are so thrilled that you are hanging out with us on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, I don't know if I've ever told you, I used to take long car trips with my mom to a yoga retreat in the Adirondacks.
Uh-huh.
And I would play Indigo Girls the entire way.
Oh,
and of course,
awesome.
Both incredible artists, the incredible voices, great lyrics. But
beautiful
every time,
music.
Yes, and every time my mom heard one particular vocalist, my mom would go, "Oh my God. This woman has the voice of an angel." And that was Amy Ray, who's on the line with us right now. Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great.
Wonderful to have you on the show.
Great.
And you are going to be at the Old Town School of Music?
Yeah, I am. I have a solo record out. It's a country record. It's my second country record. It's Americana country, kind of southern music. And I just do a thing on the side, and I have a band that goes around with me that is really good, pedal steel and keyboards and, the whole works, just a country band. So, yeah, we're going to play the Old Town School, and that's going to be on November 15th, and, man, I think it's already sold out. But,
it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Unless you can, if you know people and you want to shell out a little extra, you could go see Amy. Amy, that venue, I don't know if you've been there or not. I love Old Town School of Music. It's a great venue. It's a smaller venue. Do you prefer the smaller venues over? I mean, I know you guys have sold out the Chicago Theater. You've sold out so many venues here in Chicago. But this is kind of near and dear to our heart because it is a smaller venue. Do you like those just as much?
Oh, I love them. I mean, and Emily and I have played at the Old Town School before, too. So we enjoy it. And for me, when I do my solo thing, it's smaller venues anyway.
So, sure.
which is, but I love it. I actually really, and Emily and I love it. We love the intimacy of it. And when I'm on the road with my solo stuff, it's pretty sweaty and honky-tonky, and so it's really fun. But this place is, it's famous and stands on its own. It's like a really incredible, intimate kind of listening crowd, and it's a privilege to play there, actually. So we're pretty excited about it.
I didn't realize until she started talking that I was going to have a tough time doing this interview because I'm like, I have goosebumps.
I know, we're geeking out just a little. It's okay, though. We don't do it often.
The only time I've ever stood in line for a CD was for you and Emily at the Borders on Michigan Avenue in Chicago.
Yeah.
I still have the CD. I've been to so many of the shows. I have to say, you guys always just absolutely are such crowd pleasers. I just saw you last year at Ravinia as well. I mean, there's so much glee that comes with the music that you guys bring. How much does the audience impact, your, sort of zest for performing?
Because
we sing at the top of our lungs. We sing at the top of our lungs at your shows.
it's huge. I mean, it's what's made our whole career, our audiences, and the singing and the support and the listening. I mean, everybody, our audience is great. There's a lot of listeners and singers and dancers, and it just feels very engaged. So we've been lucky, it's really made our whole career, and it's what makes, it wouldn't be, it just wouldn't be that fun to just go out if it's a very honest experience. I'll say that, like, we make a new set list every night, and and we, just try to just really be present. And so it's, the audience is what it's all about.
Your new album is inspired by traditional country, southern rock, mountain music, gospel, bluegrass, a little bit of everything all put together, Amy. Are they your own compositions? And tell us a little bit about some of the compilations.
Yeah, it's all my own writing. I write country stuff on the side, and this is my second effort. This is called Holler, and it's with a band that I've toured with for about 4 or 5 years off and on after I made my first country record, which was Goodnight Tender. And, they're just really, they're influenced by everything from Alan Lomax field recordings to Steve Earle to Lucinda to Dolly Parton to Hank Williams to, you know, and I like punk rock too, so there's a little bit of that attitude thrown in there. And this record we recorded live to tape in North Carolina, and we had a horn in the string section as well, so it's pretty rambunctious record, and it's super fun to play. I mean, I just love to play that kind of music. I'm from the South, and it's kind of in my bones, so I come by it, you know, just in an honest way, I guess.
When you were little, what kind of music really spoke to you? What got you moving?
When I was really little, my older sister had all those records from Woodstock, and then a bunch of like Allman Brothers records.
Cool.
So it was like either Southern rock or hippie music, you know, one or the other. And then I discovered punk rock, and I mean, I tell you, the one label, the Chicago label that's really moved me is Bloodshot Records. It's one of my favorite labels, and that record really inspired a lot of what I do now, and just all those folks that are on that label and just the way it's run and everything. So, and Punk Planet was a great Chicago magazine as well. So, you know, I'm shouting out for Chicago.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Waco Brothers are on that label too. We love them. Kelly Hogan. Uh-huh. I mean, there's some great tunes and great artists.
From Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to make you feel good. I'm sure you're going to be humble about this, I know, but I mean, just the young musicians, even coming out now, who look to you, both you and Emily and you and your new band too, Amy, just as inspiration and kind of role models and mentors.
I mean, we don't know. We feel like we just feel like we're part of a whole like community of people, and all the people that came before us and helped us, and you know, and we're big fans of other people's music, and so we always try to take people on the road to open for us that are new artists or like up and coming or something that we're excited about. So I mean, it's a source of inspiration. So while it may seem like mentoring kind of goes for us mentoring somebody else, it's a two-way thing, you know, so we get mentored as well, and when there's, you know, younger musicians coming up, there's a lot of that they know that we don't, you know, so like they may be more adept at social media or, you know, certain technology that we don't know as much about, and so we learn from them as well, and that's kind of the way it works in the industry. It's always worked that way. Where we come from in Atlanta, it's a community like that. It's an ecosystem, and you nurture it, and it helps you, and you help it.
How much have you, you know, really been able to sort of step back and look at how much has changed since you and Emily? I mean, I know you've known each other since you were kids, but it must be sort of something to take in how much things have changed, and perhaps maybe even the impact that you've had. Have you been able to appreciate that, I hope?
Well, we look at everything from like that we've made a lot of advances, and you know, in the queer world, there's a lot of great things, and I think just people coming up have more of a comfortableness with everything and an acceptance. And I think environmentalism, we've worked a lot on those issues with Native American environmental stuff, and I mean, we see little battles that we've helped to win along the way, but mostly we're just amplifiers for the voices of the people that are in the trenches working. So, you know, we feel like we're part of a big force that's kind of trying to change the paradigm. And we take pleasure in small victories for sure, you know, but it's not like a pat on our back. It's more like, yes, that was great, you know, and it feels good and it energizes you and it makes you want to keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, it's like a team, you know, and I mean, we really are. I'm not just, that's really how we feel. So it's, I mean, we definitely take time and contemplate how far, you know, the women's movement's come, or, you know, like we look at like the girls' rock schools and rock camps and everything that's happening. And, you know, just from a feminist perspective, we look at that. And then we look at just music in general, you know, and how open it is now. And everybody listens to all different kinds of music, and it's so cool, you know, and that's like a lot of stuff that we feel excited about. So there's a lot of positive things that have changed. And then there's a lot of work that needs to be done, you know, and we know that. So we just keep, you know, trying to keep our heads up, you know.
I love all the work that you've done. In addition to the music, of course, you mentioned some gay rights, Honor the Earth. I know that's one of your foundations as well. You're also real involved with independent artist careers too, which I think is wonderful. You were a judge for the Independent Music Awards. I mean, that's, you're always trying to mold and shape, I guess, the next generations.
Well, I have an indie label that I started in '89, and I mean, I'm not putting any new artists out right now because I'm just doing my own stuff. But for a while, I put out about 60 records on it, and it was just because it was a lot of bands that inspired me, to be honest with you, and they didn't have records out, so I wanted a record, you know, and I felt like, well, this is the way to do it. So it's, I mean, to be honest, like, whenever you put stuff in, you get more back, and it's just a good lesson for everybody to remember, you know, and a reason to be engaged, because it feels better, and to live like that, it just feels better.
I'm just thinking of all the times I, you know, was trying to get through something, and so much of your music really helped me. I wonder how often you have those exchanges with people who tell you how much your music has meant to them, because I want to speak for a lot of them on their behalf right now.
I mean, when that happens, it feels so good, and we do have those exchanges often, because after the show, we'll talk to people quite often out by the bus or whatever, and people will tell us stories about, or get letters, and it's really inspiring, but we'll get a letter from somebody who's like, you know, I joined the Peace Corps because of you, or I did this, yep. Like some great, like now they're like a teacher or something, and they're doing all this noble, amazing work, and that is really amazing to us. Like it feels good, and it feels like, you know what, it connects everyone, and it makes it feel like there's a tapestry that we're part of, and it, that just feels good when you live and you see that, and it, and when someone reminds you of that after a show, it makes you feel better, you know, when you're tired or you're homesick, you know, and like you miss your family, and you just sort of like, it just makes you understand, like, there's a bigger reason for doing things beyond applause and getting paid. It's all these stories that you hear.
Amy, how has the record industry changed? I know there's a long way to go, but for women, as far as, yeah. I mean, I know your first demo was 81, first solo album 2001, but since the 80s, how, for better or for worse, how has the record industry changed with regard to women and advancing women?
Well, it's better. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have there's still a long way to go, and I think there's a lot of gatekeepers that are still making it hard for women. But now we've got so much technology and access and the DIY movement is kind of back. So it gives women a chance at distribution and resources and just basically having access, I guess, you know, and so that has changed a lot, and that's just technology has helped that. And a lot has changed with just how people see women in the industry, too. And I think as more young people come up that are feminist, or girls that are in high school now, that they don't see the barriers that we saw. You know, they don't, I mean, there may be some barriers there, but they don't take no for an answer, because they're taught to stand up for themselves. And they go to these girls' rock camps where they're empowered. And I think that that's helping to change everything. And I think it's changing things to have women in sound engineers and women guitar techs and women who do lighting and, you know, gaffing and everything to do with big tours, stage building. And so all those jobs, there's more and more women in those jobs. And I've seen that change. And I think there's a lot of women now who are my age who are starting organizations or trying to mentor young women coming up, and that's a shift, you know, that's a very important thing, like that is happening more and more, and it's creating a great opportunity for more women. And I do think that, you know, I have a niece she's 20 now, and she's a singer-songwriter in Atlanta, and, you know, it's just her perspective and her friends, like, it's just a wholly different perspective. I mean, even people who I know now that are in their 30s have a different perspective, and are more, the guys that I know that are musicians, they're more feminist. They don't even think about whether you're a woman or a man. They just look at you as a person, and they appreciate music no matter what. And that wasn't like that in my age group. I mean, we really, you know, we had to fight a lot for it. But it's okay, because it was fun, you know, to fight for it. And I don't mind it. But now, like, when I talk to my boyfriends that are in their 30s that are musicians, they just don't see things in that. They're so feminist, and it's so great, you know, and they don't worry about what demographic Emily and I have in our audience or any of that kind of stuff. They don't worry that it doesn't look cool to say that they're a fan of the Indigo Girls. And so that, you know, so I know there's hope, you know, coming up on the horizon because of things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Amy, I have to ask you a favor. I want to be, I hate to be greedy with your time, but, and I know it's late, but would you mind holding on for a segment? I want to play a little bit from Holler, and we've taken a break here. Do you mind holding on for a quick segment after this?
I don't mind at all.
I put her on the spot. She could say no, and then be like, well, what am I supposed to do? We're on the air.
I don't mind. I'm gonna go to bed right after this.
All right.
Awesome.
We're talking to Amy Ray. She's going to be appearing with her band Amethyst Kia at Old Town School of Music. We think it's sold out, but the album Holler is available as a 14-song CD through all digital providers and as a double LP. Three sides of music with a four side featuring a special lullaby. You've got to check it out. We're talking to Amy Ray more in a moment on 720 WGN. Oh, this feels good. Amy, during the break, I would say it was a pretty high-pitched scream, Andrea.
Yeah, it was. I had to take my earbuds out.
I apologize to anybody who might have heard me scream through these windows. And we checked online, and there are several seats, just a handful of seats left.
Literally, tickets. There's a handful. I don't want to say how many.
Yeah,
six.
Handful.
But I said, Amy, I went, oh, my God, Patty, we should go. If there's a Blackhawks team, we should go because there's two front row seats available. There are two seats in the very last row in the balcony, but I don't care.
Well, and here's
I'm going to buy
them. I can get you seats.
That's what I said during the break.
Well, I had a bigger question. But first of all, everyone, for those last few seats left, you can go to oldtownschool.org. And for the album Holler, you can find that anywhere through your digital providers. But if you happen to be coming in on Wednesday, I mean, we would love to have you in studio if you would join us in at WGN Radio if you happen to have time any moment that you're in town. We would. But you don't have to answer us now. We'll get in touch with your people. I have to ask. I mean, I know that you probably have your babies. What song do you just never get tired of playing?
With the Indigo Girls or with Amy?
Anything, really? No, I mean, because you've done so much work. I know that there must be ones where you're like you don't even get tired of it. Not that you get tired of anything.
Well, I mean, I guess with Emily, believe it or not, we played this song all the time, Galileo, but I really never get tired of it.
Oh, God, I love it.
So, and for me, I guess, like, I never get tired of, well, I don't know, because I just put out this new record, so
You haven't had time to get tired of anything.
But I'm hoping I don't get tired of any of it.
Right, well, go ahead.
Who's someone you... Okay, so on Holler, there's cameos by Vince Gill, Brandi Carlile, Freedom Singers. Who's someone you really want to work with that you haven't had a chance to yet?
There's a couple people. There's a guy, Andre from Outkast.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. Mm. I really do love, like, how... I wish I could do, like, a thing with him where he would... like produce something or something, you know.
Yeah.
I like to work with, like, you know, Yellow Wolf. It's another hip hop artist. There's like some hip hop artists that I think would be interesting to work with. But I would just die and go to heaven if I could sing with Dolly Parton ever in my lifetime.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Maybe just watch her and sit in the same room with her and have her sing for me. That would be great.
How has that not happened yet?
Yeah.
Who do we talk to? Michael, get on it.
I've met her. I haven't sung with her yet. Yeah.
Yeah, those were the two concerts I went to. It was Dolly Parton also played Ravinia last year and Indigo Girls.
Mm.
Both incredible shows. I was just thinking how much I know that Closer to Fine becomes almost a rally cry for so many of your audiences. And there is just so much work that you've done that, as I mentioned before, speaks to the hearts and goes to the soul of so many people. And I really can't thank you enough for showing up all the time and bringing it.
Oh, well, man, I mean, we've had a great career. It's like, how can you know what I mean? It's like, of course, that's what you do.
And you know what? And your fans are, so, I mean, yeah. Your fans are just so, I think anyway, loyal and have just been following you guys throughout the years, too. And now new fans, too, because, I mean, face it, you know, we're having kids.
Our audience is amazing. It's like the length of our career is purely due to our audience. And so not only is our core audience really loyal, but they pass the music down to their kids and their younger siblings. And they've always when we started, we were dependent on word of mouth because we were struggling to get people to listen to us, you know, it all was word of mouth and like bootleg tapes and like people passing the music around, mixtapes, all that stuff. That was really that was it for us. That's what made it happen. That and college radio and community radio when we were young, you know. And then we just little by little, you know, built it. But it, I mean, we've been at it since we were 16 years old, you know. So that's a long time to be with, sing with the same person. And the reason is because we have such a great audience that it keeps us to, you know, even, it just makes us realize what we're doing. We're lucky, you know, and so we don't like screw it up, you know, with each other and blow it all up by ego and stuff, because we look at our audience and we think, like, how lucky can you be to have this for so long? And it's all about your audience. You can't just, if you don't have an audience, you can't do it for this. I mean, you can do it for this long, but you'll be sitting in your house just singing in your basement with each other, which is fine, but it's not the same.
But that's, you know, that speaks to your character and Emily's character and your longevity as well, too. Because, I mean, think about it. How many bands, male, female, how many bands have you heard, they break up, there's creative differences, there's arguing, there's egos, and then get back together. Arguing. You know, you guys have had just such a wonderful career together. And so I think that speaks to both of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think because we grew up together and our parents, you know, knew each other and all of our friends knew each other and our siblings did, that we couldn't really, we weren't really allowed to mess it up. I mean, seriously, like, it's like that kind of thing where it's like my dad, he's passed now, but he would always say to me when I did a solo project, he'd be like, I really love what you're doing with your solo music, but don't forget about harmony.
Right.
And I was like, Dad, don't worry. I'm never going to stop singing with Emily. You know, it's so funny because he was, yeah, he kept me in line, you know, like he made me understand all the time. But this is the bigger thing is what you're doing with Emily. It's always going to be the bigger thing and the more special thing. And he's totally right. I never forget it. Emily doesn't forget it, but we just do solo stuff on the side to like get our yayas out, you know, just to have a good time.
That's great.
Well, it is. It has been a gift to all of us that you guys have worked so hard and really brought so much love to your fans. And so I just, again, I'm going to put it out there. If you happen to be able to stop by, I'm not going to beg, but I do want to thank you so much for joining us.
We'll stop by sometime. Me and Emily will for sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone, check out Holler. Amy Ray and her band Amethyst Kia will be at the Old Town School of Music on Thursday, November 15th. You can go to oldtownschool.org for those. Just a few tickets left.
Yeah, and we'll be in the balcony.
Yeah.
Because now there's four seats left. We'll be waving to you.
Call my people and I'll put you on the guest list.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
All right.
We'll be at the door going,
so much,
Amy, we'll be at the door, Amy, saying, her people said to call.
Yes, she said. Don't you know us?
Thanks,
if you need me, I'm out. I'm usually unloading the van.
All right. I'll help. I will help.
Find me.
All right.
Thanks, Amy.
All right.
Have a great night. Get some rest.
Good night.
Bye-bye. She said y'all to us.
I know. We got y'all.
I got y'all. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It was Amy Ray. Okay, I think I've recovered, Andrea.
I know.
I don't know if you noticed, I'm a big fan of the Indigo Girls, so let's move along.
Okay.
I'll live in that moment for a while, but hopefully we do. I was begging. I was begging a little too much.
It's okay.
I might have scared Amy Ray a little
bit.
All right. I had the pleasure of hosting the Mincing Rascals this morning, and you can go to WGNradio.com and check out the Mincing Rascals podcast. John Williams was on vacation, and Andre, I think I was going through a little withdrawal. I told my husband, I think I told Michael this, didn't I, Michael, that I was going through a little withdrawal because Scott Stantis had left the city, at least.
Yeah, he was very much missed.
I miss you. So it's good to have you back. We also have in studio with us Adam Selzer. We're going to talk about some ghost tours in just a moment.
And some great news for him, by the way.
What happened?
My publisher had the H.H. Holmes book on sale in a promo. So for about 24 hours, I was number one in several categories on Amazon.
That's outstanding.
There was one category where only Michelle Obama beat me.
Thanks, Obama.
Obama.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay.
It's no
to
shame.
To be second to Michelle Obama, that's all
right. Right.
She was that's going cool. high. Adam has written about 2 dozen books.
I know.
Somewhere in there, he has. It's bizarre. It's usually my books sell mainly to libraries and schools. The Amazon rankings are something I don't even look at if I can possibly help it. So click on the rankings and there's the picture of it up top. It was surreal.
Did they send you like an update, like a like a weather alert? Like
no,
ding,
if somebody
your phone goes ding.
No, there's various Twitter feeds that just like tweet what all the top books on the charts are constantly. It's like a bot. So I got like a Twitter alert.
That's cool.
One I was like, wait, what?
And retweet.
So
when you first started publishing, were you following it then? Were you constantly checking to see like how many?
The first day or so, I was like, what? It didn't crack the top 500,000. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, well, nuts to this. So.
And then 23 more books.
Yeah, 23 books. I never check the Amazon ratings unless somebody tells me something's happening, but that doesn't happen too much.
All right. And I'm just trying to write one. I might have to get your schedule because I know you get very little sleep.
No, I get a pretty
good. Are you doing better now?
Usually I get to bed really early most of the time, and then I get up really early. So
except when you're doing my show.
10 to 5, 10 to 5, 10 to 6.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not too bad. Yeah, 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
We used to have Adam in the stairwells with us. Me, Scott, Elliot. When we were training for the Fight for Air Climb, we would do stairs at like 11, like but right before the show.
Yeah, right at the Tribune Tower, the pneumonia, which I don't think we're ever going to get rid of. Whatever.
Yeah, the Pretty Late Show was always past my bedtime. Really.
Yes, it was. It was a little bit. Well, we're keeping you up late tonight as well. Now, Scott, while you were on vacation, were you staying away from news?
Yes.
You didn't look at any of the news.
I can't help not. I mean, that's just hobby and a habit. And not as much as I usually do.
Andre, when you go on vacation, when you were in Greece, were you keeping up with a lot of the news? Or
I try not to, but inevitably it always. I'll just you know why?
In.
Because we get so many emails. Here,
yes.
You know, because we're tied in right with the Tribune and all our affiliates, so we get so many emails. I will. At the end of the day, we'll have probably 200 to 300 emails, so I'll just delete all those.
Right.
And then you can't help but, oh my God, Rahm Emanuel, Bruce Rodner, you know, there's something inevitably that you're going to see.
And half of my emails are like news blasts from someplace.
Yes.
You know,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I'm a dork. I didn't know that you could swipe your email to put it in the trash. Like, I always thought you had to individually check.
You have to go like, you can just swipe it all the way over.
I didn't know. It's amazing. Change my.
It is.
All knew that already.
No, I just found that out a couple months ago. I was going to say a couple years, but no, just a couple months ago.
See, I'm such a dork. When I got Gmail for the first time, I took the tutorial and they were.
Oh, I didn't do that. I've never done it.
I should.
You're looking at
they have a tutorial?
They do.
Huh.
Yes.
You can learn little things. That's kind of cool.
Like swiping and not having to open the email to get rid of it.
I didn't know you could do that. It's amazing. Yeah. It made my life much easier. Well, I have over 10,000 emails in my Gmail account. Yeah. It might be more. How are you doing, Scott? You all right?
Good. That explains the not answering mine. Okay.
Yes.
Well, no, although when we first started working together, I would send Patty emails, and I'm like, she's just never responding.
Yeah. She's so aloof.
But it was her work. Was it, you couldn't get into your work?
I have seven email accounts altogether.
Thousands and thousands and thousands.
I had no idea. I hadn't gotten into my work email since. Okay, so that was, you went on vacation in June?
Yes.
So I had not been in that account like since maybe March.
Oh, that's not too bad.
I lost jobs. I lost like people were like asking like, hey, do you want to do this? You know, I've got a gig for you. And I've lost.
There's nothing more annoying than when something goes though into either a spam or a trash file.
Yes,
and it's something you actually need. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Well, do you have friends who are still on AOL? Which it still makes me LOL when someone has AOL.
I know.
You know who's on AOL? Michael, am I wrong? But I believe Steve Brown, the Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan's press person, was that an AOL account? Did you notice that?
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad it wasn't Hotmail, to be honest.
Hotmail. That's even worse. Even worse. You know what? Because my Gmail is associated with WGN, and I have a Yahoo, too, that, again, I rarely will use, but sometimes I'll give it out just for, like, insurance purposes or whatever, and I don't want the WGN on there. So I'll give out my Yahoo, and I feel like stupid giving out the Yahoo sometimes.
Why? I have three Yahoo accounts.
Oh, good. All right.
I have three Yahoo accounts.
Yahoo's still sort of cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not completely. Michael, be honest, Michael.
No.
You're the young hip guy.
Yahoo?
You know what? Just be honest. Tell me.
I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I would say if you're going to go for anything, just jump on Gmail. I mean, Gmail is the way.
Get rid of the AltaVista email account.
AOL or worse, right?
Hotmail and AOL that people like look at you a little cross-eyed when you give a Hotmail. I remember we had Bob Surratt was always on AOL.com, and I'm like, why don't you just update it? You get hundreds and thousands of emails.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You have to link it through your MySpace. It's just a
through your MySpace, your LinkedIn.
You have to type in Ask Jeeves before you jump on.
Ask Jeeves!
Wow. That was great.
If you're going to a butler for your email, you should just be kicked off the planet.
It comes on a tray.
What's great about AOL, though, a friend of mine swears by it that it never gets dumped into a spam folders
really?
Ever. That's why he keeps it.
Yeah, but then you get a lot of spam.
No, well, his never gets dumped into anyone else's spam.
Oh, that's never. Oh, I see.
For some reason,
it goes
AOL.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think because it just goes, AOL, come on. What?
What?
Steve Brown does have an AOL account. Yeah.
Right? Sorry, Steve. Oh, boy. I hope he's not listening.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, he says he stops listening around 10 o'clock, so. Maybe he's in bed already. Okay, let's take a break here. By the way, our friend from the 301 says congratulations to Adam on that nice Thanks. Bump on your H.H. Yeah. Holmes book. All of Adam's books are available on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. And we have several of them, actually, including Play Me Backwards and Just Kill Me and the history one.
Smart Alec's Guide to American History.
And the H.H. Holmes book. I have all of them. More with our guests in a moment on 720 WGN. If you have any questions, comments, want to join the conversation anytime, what email account do you have? 312-981-7200. I'm at savetheboobies@yahoo.com. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Andrea has shared an image of a burger. Now, where's this burger available? And
This is the Burger King Nightmare Burger that's out just in time for Halloween. So would you guys eat this? It's a 1/4-pound beef burger topped with chicken. So there's like a chicken patty on top, a fried chicken patty on top of the 1/4-pound beef. Cheese, bacon, onions, and mayo on a green sesame seed bun.
Wrong.
No, he'd eat it.
Is there one here right now?
No, but it's not.
Is there a 24-hour Burger King where I can get one right now?
Is it available at all Burger Kings?
Yes.
Oh.
I would totally eat this.
I know what I'm doing for lunch tomorrow.
It's $6.39.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
They were going to try a black bun, but they went with the green bun.
They did a black bun like a couple of years ago. That their Halloween Whopper that turned your poop green.
No.
So my first question is: does this one have similar effects?
I don't know, but it's only available from October 22nd through November 1st.
That's a limited time.
Yeah,
that's an hour window.
This offer is available for a really limited time.
You guys are going to get the burger.
I just want my Shamrock Shake and everyone. Oh. Too. It's the only themed thing I like
you
from any of my fast food restaurants.
A burger that'll turn your poop apparently Day-Glo green?
Stop
it
saying.
Was like Day-Glo green, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
If you were on a rocky shore someplace, you wouldn't need a lighthouse anymore.
Can we call Amy Ray back and just continue that conversation? Can we just go back to, hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. What's happening? Oh, that's funny.
What a time, like, at these restaurants. Like, what was the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing that was, like, chicken inside of a chicken inside of more chicken or something?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't so bad.
Did you eat this?
I did. Yeah, I did.
I tried it with the... Because there were two versions. There was grilled and there was fried. And
you want to go with the grilled.
But it was so slimy.
You're healthy.
Yeah,
healthy.
Was it Chick-fil-A? Who was the one who put the chicken as the bun?
That was the KFC thing. Oh.
That was the KFC.
That was the one. Okay,
The chicken... Yeah, the bun was the chicken with the chicken inside of it.
Okay, that's it.
But you got the grilled because...
Because I wanted it to be healthy.
Well, you know, I figured we're all doomed anyway at this point, so let's party hard and wreck the place.
There you go.
Look, there was a report last week that we got 20 good years left on this planet, and then it's all going to hell. So, climate... Yeah,
let's,
it's all over.
They're going to yank the lease off of this rental, so I say we party hard and wreck the place.
Everybody is. The damage is done.
Sooner or later, a meteor's going to hit us anyway.
Man. No wonder you do ghost tours.
Yeah.
You're like, look at these suckers that didn't live it up. We can, though.
Think of all the people who waved off the dessert cart on the Titanic.
I never even thought of it that way.
I didn't either. I like your stories.
I think I got that off a greeting card or something.
Your end of life stories.
Look out for the ice.
No. Pass on the dessert cart.
Oh, my God.
That is really funny, though.
As you sink down, like, that tort.
If only I'd had the custard.
I'd be a little more buoyant.
It doesn't matter. My corset doesn't float. Okay. What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
Burger King.
The monster burger.
The
Nightmare King. Sorry.
The Nightmare King. And I don't know that I need
Nightmare
to have my...
King, it's called?
Oh, my gosh. But get this. Okay. There's more to it now.
Oh, goodness.
New ad shows participants hooked up to sleep monitors after eating the burger. And per USA Today, the incidence of nightmares increased 3.5 times over the normal rate, apparently due to various proteins.
Oh, come on.
This sounds like pseudoscience.
But that's according to People magazine.
Well, do you guys ever notice anything that gives you dreams or nightmares that it impacts your sleeping habits? Any type of food? I don't know
food? There's a painkiller, I can't remember exactly.
No. That's different. That's enhanced.
It gives me weird dreams, though.
Ambien?
No, it's not Ambien. Okay. It's like codeine or something.
Oh.
He's like, no, one night he's like, man, let's see what this does. Just give it, you know, trial and error. Yeah. Why not? There you go. I've been trying to drink warm milk at night.
And does that work?
No. Doesn't do anything for me.
It sounds good.
Well, I'm not having bourbon at night, so that's why I'm switching to...
That's why you're not falling
I'm doing
asleep.
Sober October. Yeah, it's all right.
So warm milk. I mean, that never sounded good to me. It's
supposed to be.
It.
It's supposed to be good for you. It has a, yeah, it does have a skin
it's
on
like
it.
Drinking because it's at least kind of yucky.
You have to skin the skin off of it.
Oh, I know that's gross. Anything you anything that you have to describe
any,
that
any
way,
food you have to shave
in any way, shape, or form. Just, cannot be gross.
Just think of me shaving tonight shaving my milk. That's what. But I put honey in it, and that just that makes everything better. All right, let's let's wipe this slate clean. Let's take a quick break here. 312-981-7200. More. Oh, they should bring back the green bun on St. Patrick's Day. See, that's a, that would
there
make
you
sense.
Go. Yeah,
yeah. Whatever they don't use now, I'm sure they can hold on to until March. More in a moment on 720 WGN. I just realized how perfect having these two guests in studio are, Andrea. It's the Halloween season, and Adam Selzer is a historian and ghost tour guide, and Scott Stantis draws about some really scary things, including murder journalists and our deficit. So it's all very right. scary stuff.
Yeah, it all ties together.
It does all tie together. And Adam messaged me earlier this week, and you've got some great tours. I know you're doing some at Lincoln Park.
Yeah, I've been doing the Lincoln Park Zoo tours on Tuesday nights. A couple more of those left. Okay. That's been a lot of fun. This weekend, I've got a bunch of cemetery tours. I've got a couple at Graceland on Saturday, and then I'm at Rose Hill on Sunday.
Okay.
And tomorrow night's a ghost tour.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a pet that you? I mean, like, do you, Rose Hill or?
You know,
I know you don't want to pick.
Of the two, Graceland is. I like walking around Graceland a little bit more, but they're both great. Rose Hill, I like my tour slightly better because I find more connections between the people.
It makes sense because Graceland has that Halloween feel to it,
yeah,
right? It's got like winding
it really
paths.
Does. It always seems like it's October there, even when it's a super hot day.
You're right about that. Well, a part of it is the way that it's laid out. It's very cramped. The trees always look even. You're right. Even in the summer, it looks like they're
a lot of landscape architects were involved with setting up Graceland Cemetery, and it shows.
And Rose Hill is more sprawling, so I could see where there's that different sort of connection with your tours.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah,
I know that Scott's been on your tour before, and that's it this weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
There
you go.
I want to go.
Yeah, if you go to mysterioschicago.com, that's got the schedule.
Excellent. Mysterioschicago.com. What has surprised you the most on the Lincoln Park Zoo tours?
One thing that surprised me the most that people don't seem to remember is that Marlon Perkins, the old director of the zoo, tried to get a Yeti for the Lincoln Park Zoo.
Did he really?
I found that out. The World Book Encyclopedia sent him and Edmund Hillary to the Himalayas to get to the bottom of this whole Yeti thing. And I think he suspected that it was going to turn out to be mythology to begin with, but it was World Book's nickel.
Sure.
So he had some custom equipment made, custom cameras and things. And, the ultimate goal was, let's bring a Yeti back for the Lincoln Park Zoo.
What?
And he ended up deciding, it was mostly myth. They couldn't find anybody in the Himalayas who claimed to have ever seen a Yeti.
That for whatever reason, that reminds me of a story that Scott was telling me. When the old Tribune Tower was, they were starting to gut it. You were telling me about somebody who had been on staff who they don't even think actually worked for the Tribune, but would just send their bill for traveling around the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We had this display of the great journalists who worked there. And one guy just decided, I'm going to start traveling around the world and writing stories. And he'd send stories back with invoices. He didn't work for the Tribune.
He wasn't even employed by the Tribune, Andrea.
Oh, my God.
He just started doing it, and they started paying him.
That's incredible.
That's hilarious.
That's when we had money.
Yeah.
and a tower.
Yeah, well, there you go. Are there still openings for the Lincoln Park Zoo tours?
The zoo tours are sold out.
They're sold out.
They're sold out. They sold out very quickly.
I can imagine.
We didn't decide to do them with the zoo, or the zoo didn't ask me until very late in the season.
Okay.
And I figured, just one a night on Tuesdays will be enough. Next year we'll do more of them, I think.
And you were telling us last time that one of the places that people have reported stories are in the bathrooms in the lion's house.
Bathrooms of the lion house,
the cat house.
Well, I've got a theory as to who would be haunting it. Is there was a 1912 article talking about building the comfort stations, the bathrooms in Lincoln Park, and it mentioned that there'd be an attendant for the men's room, an attendant for the women's room. The man was going to make $55 a month, and the woman was making $50 a month. So if anybody's going to haunt the women's bathroom, it's going to be that attendant getting her $5 worth of revenge.
That's right.
And, you know, statistically, that's ahead of the pay gap. So, but still, I'd haunt it.
Now, would you have you ever talked to anybody who, there are people who say, if anything happens and I die, I promise to give you a sign. And there are people who like make these deals with people. And I've been glad that nobody's ever made that deal with me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I would be looking for it all the time.
I would be too. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's something like, oh, I'll have the wind blow in your hair.
Yeah. Every time I see a butterfly. Yeah. Every time I see a butterfly, right. It's me. Yeah.
So don't hit any butterflies with your car.
Yeah,
so.
please don't. Yeah. There are people who say that they see something, they know it's a sign from someone that they love from beyond, you know, whether it's like a type of bird or a type of, I think I've heard butterflies.
As long
from
as
some
it's
people.
Not telling you to go off and kill people or something.
Yeah, don't listen to those voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any scary movies that you like? We've been talking about scary movies in the last couple weeks. Are there any that you enjoy?
I've been going through watching movies where everybody gets slaughtered at a summer camp. Which is quite the genre.
Isn't that Friday the 13th?
Our film producer who was talking about this and he came up with these horror movies that many were European.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some like his friends can't even get through.
It's a lot of subtitles.
Yeah. I mean, well, I've never been a big slasher guy. I like the horror movies with old castles and Vincent Price lurking around.
I agree. Well, that's why I like them. Have you seen I keep saying this, and there's a listener who asks if I've seen Horns, which I still have to see, but I saw The Woman in Black, which also stars Daniel Radcliffe. So I really enjoyed Woman in Black. It's some really good creepy gothic,
very traditional haunted house movie.
So you've seen that one?
Oh, I love that one.
Right?
That one was spooky as all get out.
Okay,
too.
So I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I wasn't just like hungry for a scary movie. I really do recommend it.
Okay,
it's yeah.
Oh, I know, and I really usually watch your recommendations. I do, and then I get hooked.
I know.
And you know, if Daniel Radcliffe decides, I just want to be the new Vincent Price. I'm not going to make art films. I'm just going to make goofy horror movies and be a creep. And I totally respect that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
So what are the, I know people always have questions on the ghost tours, like, and everyone's anticipating it too, aren't they? there's a sort of element of almost self-fulfilling. Like they're like, oh, I saw something. Do you get a lot of that?
Less so than I used to.
Okay.
I think in the days when every time you turn on the TV, there were 9 different TV shows of guys running around looking for ghosts.
Yeah.
I had a lot more people like taking pictures, bringing gear. That doesn't happen as much anymore. People aren't as excited about taking pictures and stuff now.
They aren't.
Oh, yeah. I still would. I would geek out and take pictures.
I would too. A lot of people, you'll see a lot of stuff about orbs and things like that too.
Orbs are ghost farts.
Jane Monzouris went to one of our fill-in hosts. She fills in with Pete McMurray sometime. Jane showed me a picture that she went to Greece and she got engaged and she went to see her family's home. And it was this on this old Greek island and this kind of rickety fence. And they took her, and I guess her grandfather had lived there and blah, blah. So she showed me the pictures and she said, what do you see when you look in this picture? And I immediately saw, I really think it looks like an orb. You know, it's this blue little, and she showed it to people, and you blow it up, you make it larger, and it looks like little Princess Leia in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So now all of her friends are like, oh, it probably got superimposed with something, some Star Wars thing. And she's like, no, this was on the property. And she has a bunch of pictures of that fence. Mm. And you just scroll through, and sure enough, you see this little eye. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So she thinks it was something there.
Oh. Yeah. There are people that also get like recordings. They'll hear like something that they try to slow it down or take out all the ambient noise and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of it's, if they tell you, well, hear you, it's going to say get out. Or it's gonna say it's gonna say jump, and it listens to me, but it would sound like ketchup. But it's like ketchup. But if they told you jump, your brain is gonna hear jump. Or if the subtitles say jump, you're gonna hear jump. It's a parlor trick in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
we have a listener that's calling in. Rod wants to talk about a fast food. We were talking about the Burger King. Was it the Nightmare?
Yeah, the King? Nightmare King.
Nightmare King. Now I saw this on one of the signs driving by it, and I had to take a double look. Rod, what is Arby's now selling?
About 2 months ago, I just discovered, I thought, oh, there's an Arby's there. Well, it's been there a while, but I just thought, I'm going to try that because, when I go to Rice Lake, I usually stop at a fast food place and get something. But anyhow, it's about 24 miles away. But anyhow, I started getting those Greek, traditional Greek gyros.
Oh, gyros, yes.
And, you know, I don't know. I looked up on my, you know, old smartphone, touch phone. Uh-huh. Not smart, they're amazing. But anyhow, I, yeah, it's like, they're not considered, like, super, real, real healthy. I mean, they're not, like, going to kill you tomorrow, but they're not right up there. But, they, I mean, it's like, you know, like you were talking about climate change, you know, you thought, well, we're going, if it's going to be lights out, you know, what's the difference, you know? But,
you know, I don't want to encourage reckless behavior with your dietary habits, but yeah, every once in a while.
I was going to say something else, too. You start talking about scary shows.
Uh-huh.
If you like to watch horror movies.
Yes.
And I watched one, and after I watched it, and that was in 1999, it permanently changed me. I do not watch horror movies. Honest to God. It was Stephen King's Storm of the Century.
Storm of the Century? I've never heard of that one. And that got you off of horror movies? You haven't watched one since?
It was about a Stephen King one. And my sister, when I told her, she says, oh, no wonder. She says, it's stuff about, you know, the devil was here on Earth.
Right.
It was Maine. And he would be in the jail cell. And I don't know. I don't want to even talk about it. But
wow.
If you want to get it out of your system, you know.
I will have to check that one out, Rod. Thank you so much for that. That's wild. By the way, I'm looking up the reviews for the gyros, and it looks like it's not too badly rated. I don't know if I would go to Arby's for my gyros, though.
I know. No. I hear that.
Thank you, Rod.
Good.
Yeah, somewhere in Greektown, people are turning over.
I know. You know, I feel
tzatziki sauce.
I had you know, you brought up Greektown. I had lunch with my mom in Greektown today.
Opa.
And yeah, and Greektown used to just be this really wonderful stretch, and you could go and get a good gyros, and they're just slowly but surely turning everything into condos, which is okay. You know, I'm happy that we're
what
developing.
Are you gonna do?
There's still four or five places there.
But there are three restaurants left in Greektown. Can you believe
no.
that?
No.
That's about right.
Yes.
Whoa.
Athena, Greek Islands, and Santorini. And there's a rumor.
There's Pegasus.
Pegasus closed.
Oh, Pegasus closed.
And Artopolis is now just kind of bakery. If you want to just grab something quick, it's not really, you know, like you can sit down there. There's like bar stools and stuff, but... But those are only out of all of, like, used to be Roditi's. Remember Roditi's and Diana and
when I first moved here in 2009, we went down there. That was one of the first, like, neighborhoods we went to and kind of immersed ourselves
into.
Yeah,
our waiter today said, yes, slowly but surely. And then Costas burned down. They're just, they're all going away. My people.
I'm going to go eat some Greek food.
Yeah. How let's go to Arby's and get a gyros.
Oh, no, my bad. More in a moment. The Patty Baskin Show with Andre Dallas, 720 WTN. While we're talking about scary stuff, we turn our attention from the ghost tours that Adam Selzer will entice you with. You can go to mysterioushicago.com.
MysteriousChicago.com. Cemetery tours all weekend, ghost tour tomorrow night, and more throughout the rest of October, including the haunted boat tour is a week from tonight, the Curious Cruise.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a busy season.
That's a once a year kind of thing,
that's
too.
That's great. So. I hope it's nice out, too.
I hope so. Yeah, yeah. It was freezing last year.
Bring
but
your
it was
blankets.
Still great.
Do people bring blankets and
I don't
stuff?
Know if anybody did.
They
should have.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. Definitely. Well, on to other scary stuff. The deficit jumped by 17%.
Yeah, only 17%, and now it's the national debt is at over $21 trillion, with a T.
With a T.
Yeah, it was incredible, which no one cares about. Truly,
no.
They don't. I'll do a cartoon about it and just crickets. I won't hear any. Although I did get some conservatives saying that that's entitlements and the Democrats. I'm going, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, that was what Mitch McConnell this week said that they would take a serious look at making cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
Of course.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't bother folks. I would think that some...
Oh, that'll bother folks.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to...
Oh, there's old folks that this will
but
bother
that was,
a lot.
But that was the conversation when they were passing the tax budget the last year, was they said, you know, this has to have consequences, and the consequence will be that people who rely on services, those who are most vulnerable, will probably see some...
Or you just keep printing money and don't worry about it.
Is that the plan?
Yeah, that seems to be the plan. Yeah. That's certainly, because spending hasn't been curtailed.
It was my understanding, I thought that was the part of what people would say, I'm socially liberal but fiscally conservative.
Right.
Right? So they would say, you know, as long as we're being responsible with money, but I don't think that a $21 trillion deficit.
No, that's being irresponsible. I mean, part of fiscal responsibility, my ass. And I'm sorry. It makes me furious. I bring this up a lot. I mean, because first of all, okay, now we're talking about the deficit, which is scintillating. And now I'm going to bring up Calvin Coolidge.
Ooh. It's been a while. It's been a minute since we've talked about Calvin.
Let's bring him in.
Bring him in. You know him as the 21st president of the United States.
He's sitting right here, but of course he's not saying anything. Right. True to form. Animal. True to form, as Beto would say.
Yep. This is where we need the Ouija board.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, one of the great lines of political of American politics, a woman came up to us. A lady asked her, came up to him and said, I bet my friend that I could make you say three words. And he looked at her and says, you lose.
I've heard it attributed to Dorothy Parker and Lady Astor, and I wonder if we could find out who really said it.
But what he did do is one hour at least a day, he would meet with the Secretary of the Treasury, and he would sit down, they'd go over the budget line by line. And I've had people like, oh, I can't imagine the president doing that. I go, I absolutely can't imagine the president doing that, and should. They can't do it. They can't start wars when they're doing this. They can't do anything else. Yeah.
That's a good point.
You know, they can't bomb innocent, you know, wedding parties in Yemen. So, no, I would love to have a president who actually has that grasp of the budget. And so, yes, it's a boring subject, but it will future generations. This is debt. We're paying $62 billion a year now in debt. Interest alone.
It seems aggressive.
You think?
Yeah. It does a little
anyway,
bit.
Anyway, so that was one of the cartoons.
Well, can't they do, like, I know you said that Calvin Coolidge sat down for an hour a day. Can't they just bring in Charles Grodin like they did in Dave?
Yes.
And they sit down and he drives up with his little station wagon and they go over the budget and
And that's why, to me, fiscally conservative means is just being a good steward and recognizing that this is other people's money. Yeah. And it's their future and it's their kids. And, you know, presumably these guys have reproduced at some point and they have children themselves. But it's unconscionable to just leave this behind. And that's what our mayor has done, by the way. We talked about him in Mincing Rascals
today. His budget came out yesterday, and it doesn't seem as though it's going to resolve any. Well, there's so many obligations that the city has.
And it continues. He continues to borrow, and some of these bonds were issued at exorbitant rates. Now we're going to bonds. Boy, this is a trifecta of...
Yeah, right.
It really is, but the bond. I mean, we've issued bonds for the city, for CPS, for the city, and they're both CPS was below junk bonds, so those bonds were issued at 18%.
Well, I don't know what gets people riled when it comes to I don't know anymore because you know when we sold the meters, right? We sold the sold the meters,
sure.
And we spent the money within 2 years, and we sold the contracts for 75 years.
Right,
that money's gone.
No, totally. And the red light cameras, that was another debacle. That was a mess, too.
Well, you know what ticked people off about the parking, if you remember, when they first... is that it wasn't that the deal stunk, and is that well, those machines are kind of complicated. I don't get... But, you know, I'm used to the thing, you put the quarter in, you turn
right,
it,
right.
And you get the time.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. No, the complaint was that they were complicated machines, not that, you know, this was a really bad deal. And as Patty said, they blew through the money in 2 years.
We sold part of the city.
Yeah.
The other thing we covered on the Mincing Rascals earlier today, again, that's available on WGNradio.com. It's the podcast where we tackle the issues of the week, is the disappearance and it seems murder of the Washington Post journalist.
It's a murder. There's no question it's a murder. Mm. Intelligence agencies of any competence, and this is Turkey's released the names and the face and the pictures of the guys, the squad that came in from Saudi Arabia to do it. They say they have the audio of the actual attack. The guy's not around. So, and now even the president tonight says, well, he may be dead. Probably, I don't know.
Did you see where he was in his office? He's like, I don't even know if he lived in the United States. He was a resident of the United States.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jamil Khashoggi was a Washington Post journalist.
Yes.
And by the way, he was just at the consulate to do some paperwork.
You know why? He was getting married.
He wanted
to make sure that his divorce was finalized so he could get remarried. You know, and read his column, by the way, if I could recommend something. Read his last column. It's posted by the Washington Post. I think the Tribune also has posted it. And it's very, very touching. And he says, you have to watch out. There are attacks on journalists around the world. I mentioned the Bulgarian journalist, a very popular television journalist in Bulgaria. You never heard of her. Mm. You haven't heard one about her. Because you know, she's not an American and doesn't have, but she was picked up by, they think, government forces, raped and killed, and this is happening around the globe to journalists. So yes, I'm sorry to bring everyone down, but you know, it's, well, it's yeah, well, what terrifying.
Do you, well, the president today at our rally praised the congressman who body slammed the journalist during the election last year. He went in front of a rally and praised the guy. Other dictators pick up on this. They get the impression it's okay to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And his supporters are going to keep on cheering because the cruelty is the point. It's the appeal. It's what they like about him. Right. Deplorable was too nice a word.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining. No, it's incomprehensible that we're even in this position where the president has decided that the $100 billion in selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, it was $100 million.
People have to stop saying that. I mean, I'm sorry, Pat Robertson said it. Well, you know, if you can't trust Pat Robertson, no, it's not. It's $4 billion.
It's a $4 billion.
Yes, the president says $100 billion. That's this will shock everyone. It's either he doesn't know, or it's a lie.
Alternative fact.
Well, not an alternative fact, as you can follow Scott Stantis on Twitter at @sstantis.
No, Scott Stantis.
At Scott Stantis. It's at Scott Stantis. And you can also go to chicagotribune.com/Stantis for all of his work.
Or go to gocomics.com/Prickly City or Stantis, and you'll see everything.
And your podcast as well, yeah. Prickly City.
Here at right here on WGN Plus.
And happy anniversary, by the way.
Thank you. 37 years.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, isn't that, she deserves a medal or something.
And you want to go on one of Adam's ghost tours, go to
mysteriouschicago.com.
He's got is the boat full?
The boat is not yet full.
All right. Get your blankets.
There's still a few spaces left. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Cool. Go to mysteriouschicago.com. Let's get a photo before you guys go. Thank you so much for joining us. More
Thanks
in a moment.
Us.
Thank you.
Of course, more in a moment. 720 WGN. Hey Andrea, do you have to get anything, like, do you have a list of things that you do before winter comes as far as like your house or your yard or anything like that?
I do, mainly for my car, I'm taking my car in tomorrow because it needs to be serviced and whatnot, but I learned from, I think my mom has always done this, she's like, winterize your car, and you go in and they get it, you know, they just get everything ready for winter,
right.
So I do that. I don't really do much around the house except, you know.
Right,
as far as winterizing or preparing, do you? Right,
well, we do stuff like we have to make sure our garden hose, like the spout, is covered,
yeah.
So that doesn't freeze up during the wintertime.
Yeah.
And I know I was just watching. My mom has been working on our fence.
Okay.
And I don't want to tell her not to climb the ladder to work on, because I don't want her to feel on the ladder. Although now I'm probably telling her, right? Because she's going to listen
right.
to the show. But I'm also like, you know what? I want to be her age and still climbing ladders and fixing things
oh
around
gosh.
The house. You know,
my mom does the same thing. She broke her ribs. I think.
Well, don't tell me this story.
It was in May. No, no.
Okay.
She was on the treadmill.
Okay. All
and,
right.
And she goes for her workouts a couple times a week, and she stopped to answer the phone on the treadmill. Are you kidding me? I was the worst daughter on the planet. I sent her every GIF. You know, where there's like a little treadmill and the guy's falling off and he crashes into the wall. And
right.
She's like, oh, it's so funny. I can't laugh. But the poor thing, you know. So she's very active like that, too. And I'll tell her things, the same thing, Patty. Like, well, don't get it. Have someone else do it. You know,
right.
Her friend's a handyman and he'll come and help her out. You know, but I'm like, don't do that yourself.
I know. I get really nervous. But like I said, I don't want to like make her second guess herself. If she feels good about climbing up the ladder and working on the fence and staining it and stuff, I'm like, okay.
How big of a ladder is this?
It's a ladder. It's a sizable ladder. It's like one of those. I mean,
so it's not just like a three steps, like a little
no,
step ladder.
No,
oh,
I know.
She shouldn't be on that.
I know. But I
wouldn't want to be on that.
I know. And I think it was I don't know if it's my dad's ladder. And so it's just like, you know, she wants to take care of something outside. I know. Should I have told her to?
She'll do it. I should ask your mom. So I'm still getting tomatoes.
Oh yeah, we don't. I don't. We.
I am literally still growing tomatoes. I don't know what to do. I mean, I cover them up at night when it's going to frost, but they are still growing.
Oh,
and ripening too.
Can you pot any of them and bring them inside? Or
I could.
I don't know. We don't grow tomatoes. We don't really. We don't. We have an herb garden that
okay.
my mom has, and mostly flowers and a bunch of annuals.
I'm going to ask your mom next year. I want to do an herb garden.
Yeah, we have.
So I'm going to get her advice on that.
She does rosemary, basil, oregano. She's got a lot of stuff.
That's what
there.
I want. Oregano yeah. and basil for sure.
I want to do an indoor one, but then that seems like I always feel like I'm going to have dirt in the kitchen.
You can have those little. They do. You know, they sell like you know, Walgreens or Bed Bath and Beyond. You can do a little herb garden in the house. They're like mini, mini little potted plants.
I want to do that. You know what Ez has? I haven't talked to Ez in a bit, but she has worms. She
Stop
is composting
it.
With worms.
Okay, that would creep me out. What if one got out?
Well, there'd be a worm in your house.
Oh.
It's not that bad. Michael, right? Just a worm, like one worm in the house? That's not that bad. What are they going to
It's pretty scary. You know, it's funny every time you tell this story about Esmeralda and her worms, because... I remember there was one time when I was all excited to date this girl, and like we went out on a date and we went to a fancy dinner, and then she brought me back to her house, and what did I see? She said, "You got to check this out. I'm going all organic," and I'm like, "Sweet, almond milk and tea and
yep."
A worm box sat in the middle of her apartment, and she was like, "Oh, I gotta feed all this garbage to my worms." And that's what she uses, compost. Let me just tell you, it was a deal breaker for this guy.
Deal breaker.
It would be worms. For me too. Yeah.
Worm compost
in the middle of your apartment.
Well, like was there a dedicated, like, is it in the middle of the living room, in the middle of the dining room? What do you mean the middle? Like, she had a studio apartment.
It was a one bedroom apartment, but I mean it's not a lot of space, so it was like,
yeah, the worms could get out and go into the one bedroom.
Technically in the living room, but that's a step away from the kitchen.
See, okay. Right.
You get one worm lost, that's in your sandwich the next morning.
That's so gross.
You're eating with your eggs.
Okay, that's so true. And he's so right. That's so gross. But I have a question, because I've never seen this. Mm-hmm. Are they like in a shoebox, or?
Everyone has a different, you can actually buy them or you can make your own. Did she make her own, or was it like a commercially?
And you just take all the garbage that you would normally put in the trash and give them to the worms?
Yeah, think of it as like a three-layered system. So it's on the bottom is a bunch of dirt, and then you have the middle section, and then on top of that section is like a topper for the box, and that's where you put the garbage.
I have way too much garbage, though.
The worms kind of just crawl into, think of it as like an ant farm kind of look.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, more power to them, though. They're trying to save
to the worms.
Planet.
Exactly.
And to the worms.
Yeah.
Know? They're just trying to eat.
But I bet there's certain things they can't eat, like cotton balls or, you know, or coffee grounds. I bet there's things that
shards of metal.
You don't put aluminum cans in your worm composting bin.
I think they'd probably pass on that black burger we were looking at earlier.
So I'm trying to find worm composting so I can show Andrea a picture of, like, I know, but I'm getting,
now
like,
nightmares.
I'm looking at, like, no, but see here, look, you can get ones that look like that.
All right,
that's not
that's
bad.
Pretty.
That's sleek.
But that's outside.
Yeah, it is outside.
I would keep that outside.
You're reading bedtime stories to your worms at the end of the night.
Do they require something like warm and fuzzy, you know, treatment?
I think dirt and food is all they need.
I mean, can you have animals with it? Like, is your cat befriending the
worms? Do worms have brains?
Oh, I don't know. That's kind of cool looking. That's a wooden one.
Again, that is super cool. Looks very bamboo.
Yeah, see, it looks nice.
I'd keep that outside. If I was going to do
this. Yeah, but then your worms would freeze in the wintertime. Tough for them.
Win some, lose some.
You know, I'm kidding. I have a question.
Buy more.
What would they do if you're owning a worm and you're doing compost? Is it weird to have a snake? Because isn't a snake like the same thing as a worm?
No.
Snakes creep me out.
No. That makes sense.
Worm compost or snake farm?
Neither.
Worm compost.
Why do I have to pick one of those?
I would do a worm compost. My husband knows this. I was looking into it a couple of years ago.
Get out. Inside or outside?
Inside. I wanted to do it inside, like in the basement. Yeah, I was totally all about that. But yeah, I just never got around to it.
Okay, and one other question, just because this is so new to me. Do you have to go buy the worms, or do you dig for your own worms?
You can order worms.
Oh, God.
You can have them sent.
And then they come in the mail?
You can have them sent to you, yeah. I don't know if you want to buy them, like, on Amazon.
How do they survive? I'm going to look up if worms have brains.
I've never given it that much thought, and maybe they haven't either.
Me neither, until now.
I know.
This is crazy to me. I wonder if people people listening and they have this.
312-981-7200. Are you composting with worms? You're not composting the worms, but using worms to break down any of your biodegradable and foods and things like that. You can put like eggs and, you know, maybe your banana peel.
They have no ears. Apparently,
well, that I kinda,
like, they can't hear.
Well, they don't listen to anything I say,
and they breathe through their skin.
Are you going to be okay, Andrea?
Yeah, I just can't wrap my head around this.
Worms aren't that bad. Jean, hi, Jean. How are you doing?
Hi. You city girls have to get a grip.
Yes. I'm so guilty. I know. Sorry, Jean.
I want to do this. Jean,
you
tell
are.
Me. Yes,
I am guilty.
And, especially, I can't think of her name. The great gal.
Andrea.
Oh, me. Yeah, Andrea. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone out of my head because you do such adventuresome things on TV that I see all the time.
Thanks,
Jean. But coffee grounds are one of the greatest soil conditioners there are. And if you just have a little, you know, home coffee pot kind of thing, you just take the... Usually you have a paper liner. I don't. If you have a gold mesh liner in your coffee pot,
I do.
then you'd have to lay them out on paper towel. But you, if you dry them, and then you can also put them back in the empty coffee pan can once they're perfectly dried. And then I take them out in good weather and scatter them around my vegetables and my shrubs, and especially my pine things and everything that loves acid, because those are coffee grounds are among the greatest soil conditioners.
I did
not
know that.
And lots of people go to Starbucks to get at the end of the day to get what they're willing to part with.
So you just take the coffee grounds, because I make coffee every day. So you take the coffee grounds and you just sprinkle them around your plants.
Right, you dry them. Yeah, I don't know why. You know, I guess there wouldn't be any problem if you just took them out and sprinkled them wet.
Yeah, because if it rained,
probably come out in clumps that way. And you know, I just got used to drying them in the liner, and then I put them in a container, and then I take them. You can dump the coffee grounds back in the can, the empty, if you have a coffee can, after they're dried. Otherwise, they will mold. You don't want them to do that.
Okay, right.
And then I scatter them. And also, when you make eggs, if you rinse out the inside of the eggshell and let it dry and crumble it, it makes wonderful, wonderful. I think it actually adds calcium or something to the soil when you're potting plants or when you're planting things outside.
This is so good to know, because I had tomatoes and cucumbers for the first time this year, and I just loved it. And I just said to Patty, I want to have an herb garden next year.
Yeah, herb gardens are great too. And honey, if you had good tomatoes, I could never figure out. I kept them in pots because I could never find a good time when my garden wasn't practically underwater, or you know, it was so hot, and you thought, well, it's 90 degrees, and the sun's going to beat the living daylights out of these poor, you know, skinny little guys. And I had terrible, terrible crop. And I'll tell you, most of the people I've talked to had bad tomato crops this year.
Yeah. See, that's what I can't figure out. I don't know what happened. It was a nice tomato crop. And then as it's starting to wind down, now I am seeing, and they're a decent size. I would say most are golf ball size tomatoes or a little bit bigger, and they continue to grow.
That's amazing. Well, if you could cover
them up.
Like if I have something that wears out, like a blanket or a comforter or a mattress pad or something, I save them in some. And I used to have big vegetable gardens, and I would actually go to estate sales and garage sales and buy them up, you know, old, used up ones, and then keep them in the garage folded. And then if we got an early frost, I would cover everything. It really did look like the gypsies had all moved into my yard. It was very funny. But I'm one of those people, I could care less what other people think.
Good for you. I just
wanted to preserve them. And you can bring green tomatoes in and wrap them in newspaper and then
Wrap them in newspaper. All right, and will they continue? Will they turn red?
They'll ripen. Yes.
So pull them off and wrap them in newspaper.
If they ripen down the vine, but nonetheless, they'll be every bit as tasty as the ones that rode the boxcar from California to Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
In the winter,
right. That's, you know what? Thank you so much. I'm going to do that this weekend.
Excellent.
Wrap up the tomatoes.
And you know, a lot of those things that we throw away, we could really be enriching our soil. Even if you don't have a garden, even, you know, a new grass that you're trying to grow or something like that would love the coffee grounds, too. So
that's awesome.
Now, Gene, where are you on using worms for composting?
Well, actually, one of those, I was trying to think of the name of it, and you guys can help me because you're both smart ladies. One of those little salamanders, that's the word, fell into my window well out here in the northwest suburbs a few years ago, and I called up Crabtree Nature Preserve because it's right close, and I said, my God, what do I do? It's almost Thanksgiving. He said, you need to keep him over the winter. I'm real soft-hearted, so I got an aquarium thing that we had anyway from somewhere, and then I kept him in it, and I remember driving to Randhurst, and that is not next door to Palatine Township by any means,
okay,
in a snowstorm to buy red worms to feed him, because that's the only place I knew where I could get them at the time. And I felt like a darn fool, but we kept him through the winter, and he was one happy camper. And then in the spring, we let him go.
I just showed Andrea.
Katie just showed me a picture
of a salamander, and she's not thrilled. It's a little.
They're little guys. You know, really not. It wasn't much longer than, say, 9-10 inches long.
All right, you had me at the coffee grounds.
Out by a big lizard or something. I got to admit, but this was just a little guy with beady eyes. eyes, you know.
Oh, God.
She's got the
Jean.
By the way, there's a horror movie called Squirm. That's about, it's a horror movie with worms in it, by the
Why?
Way.
Oh, really?
Why do you guys hate me? So, why?
You know, I don't let myself see anything like that. It's too nightmare-inducing. I just don't.
Do you think?
So, you know, I just deal with the real thing.
With the real
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, real
right.
life is enough. Oh, Jean, what a great conversation.
Oh, thanks, Jean.
We love to talk.
I love listening to you guys. And Scott, too. Is that his first name? Is that his right first name?
Oh, Michael?
Yep.
The cartoonist.
Oh, Scott. Stannis. Yes. Yeah.
I sometimes make cartoons,
and Michael's
though.
Michael's nice, too. Yeah. You've got a good
crew. Thanks,
Gene. Sweet.
Hey, Gene, have we given you any prizes recently?
No, you haven't.
Would you like to go see Witch? It's not a scary play. It's a wonderful play.
It's really good.
In Glencoe at the Writers Theater.
What is it called?
It's called Witch.
Well, I guess I could do that.
It's really good. We loved it. It's not a scary play. It's a drama.
It's really good. And the theater's beautiful, Gene.
Yes. So I'm.
Oh, that's good.
Excellent. Yeah, I got a pair of tickets for you for the production of Witch playing now through December 16th at Writers Theater in Glencoe. Okay, hold on the line, Michael. We'll get the information from you so we can send those out.
Yeah,
I think it's like you're giving me a reward for trying to run your life.
I'm already taking notes.
I love hearing from you, Gene. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene.
Hold on the line. And the fate of the world is at stake in this smart modern fable that questions: would you know what to ask for if the devil came knocking on your door? Get tickets at writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000. By the way, I'm listening to Book on Tape.
Oh, yeah.
Or audio on tape. How old am I? Audiobook. It's actually, there are books on...
I still say books on tape.
I know. But it's funny because none of us use cassettes anymore.
I know.
But it's, okay, good. I'm not the only one.
No, because I'll say to you, oh, can we tape this? You know,
right.
We'll say.
I didn't even notice. But, you know, YouTube has audiobooks. Did you know that?
Full, I did not.
Full audiobooks. And I kind of worry. I hope I'm not taking anything away from artists, but it is Stephen King. So I kind of feel like his stuff has been in the sort of out there. It's Carrie. I didn't realize that was his first. It's at least in the introduction. He talks about how he came up with the idea for Carrie. It is so good. And it's read by Sissy Spacek.
Oh, no. I love
it's
her.
It's so good.
That's awesome.
It's different than I didn't realize, you know, when they make a movie, you just kind of have an idea of what the book is going to be like.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit different. They do a great job of the opening scene where she's in the locker room
and she's reading it.
Sissy Spacek reading it.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Oh, I'm checking that out.
Yeah, I'm
that
really enjoying
cool.
it. It's I'm like driving at night and I'm like, I probably should do this during the day. It's freaking me out. But he talks about Stephen King talks about how he came up with the idea, and he based Carrie on two girls he knew from a grade school and high school.
Was he friends with them? Or?
Well, he talks about how they're in every, like, it's like kids always know how to go for the vulnerable one. Like, all the kids kind of ganged up on these two girls separately.
Yeah.
And he talks about how one of them was in a very religious family, and there was a crucifix over her couch that was so large and heavy that he worried if it ever fell off the wall, it would crush whoever was on the couch.
Oh, God.
Which is obviously how he came up with the
crucifix in the
family.
For the mom.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
Oh, that's weird.
It's really good to listen to.
Oh, that's cool.
Coming up after this, let's go to happy stuff. Let's not scare Andrea with worms and salamanders anymore. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us and tell us what's making you happy tonight on 720 WGN.